Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio with our three spatial peeps. They were with us last month, if you tuned in. And last month we started in Genesis, and we were talking about the Creator and creation. And now we're going to continue on in Genesis 2, starting in verse 4. And Miss Tara's going to just... I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. Sorry.
That's a good idea.
Go ahead.
Linnell. Hannah.
Taylor.
Yay!
Miss Tara, myself, Sandy.
Yay!
That's Yay! Who we
are. So Linnell graduated from Grace, and then Taylor and Hannah will soon enough. So I'm so excited about this passage. I have been using this, and right now I'm teaching it, and just finished up the last week, and a total week, and my class at school in the Introduction to Orality class, but also at the Open Door Mission. And I was calculating it out, I think somewhere between 40 and 50 times I've either read this passage or had it read to me or had it presented orally in some capacity in a presentation or somebody sharing their story or listening as students are presenting. And it's crazy when you hear a passage over and over how God begins to just make things new and fresh. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been blessed in a special way and looking forward to what God's going to reveal to us. So we're going to start off, and Taylor, you can begin with our reading. We're going to be looking at what would be a microscopic view, like literally of the Genesis account has occurred, of showing what happened with each day. Genesis 2 is an expansion of what happened specifically in the creation of man. And so that's what you need to know what we're looking at. So we're going to do Genesis 2, verse 4, to the end of the chapter, which I think is 25 verses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Tay.
Okay. This is the count of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Bishon.
Mm-hmm.
And it winds through the entire land of Havilah, and where there is gold. The gold of the land is good. Aromic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gidon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east of Asher, and the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds in the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he had brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
May God honor the reading of his word. This is such an exciting passage. So real quick, as we just think on, because it's fresh, she just read it, let's give an order of what you think are the most critical things we need to know from this. To start from the beginning, what do you think is critical that we focus in on?
Well, I think they're now calling him Lord God.
Okay.
You know, Yahweh.
All right. What else? So it's given us the order of time. And where does man come from?
The dust.
Okay, yeah. And where does all the beasts come from?
He speaks
it's the same. It's like he says from the earth. Mm-hmm. And then he places man where?
In the garden.
And what does he tell the man?
He tells him to take care of it.
Okay, to take care of it. And then he gives what? A warning.
From any tree except for the one tree.
Uh-huh. Exactly. He can eat anything but one. So there's a command that comes. It's the first command that is spoken. And then as man is in the garden, what does God do?
God has the man name animals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. All the animals come, and he names them. And then the process of naming them, what happens?
He finds that he's, like, by himself. He doesn't mm-hmm. have somebody else that's like
him. He doesn't
him.
Match mm-hmm. with him, right?
Exactly. And so God puts him to sleep, and then what does he do?
Takes one rib and forms his Eve.
Right.
You know, I found it interesting, too, when he said, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. You know, all along he's been saying, it's good. At the end, it was very good. No, it's not good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what does man recognize about woman?
That she's taken from him and that this is someone that can match him. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And
help her.
Yeah. And scripture says, you know, this is why a husband, even though they don't have parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is kind of fun that scripture does this. This explains why a man will leave his father and mother and join his wife. So, mm-hmm. you know, even though they didn't have parents, this is the explanation of where that comes from. Mm-hmm. And then in scripture, it tells us that they lived in the garden and did they have any shame?
No, they were naked and no shame.
Okay, so no. I just want us to keep some of those key things with us because this really has key truths that the reason why they go in and they make it to where we zone in and get these, this ties in to all of the Bible stories. Every single Bible story up to Christ and to Christ's return, right here we have, and that God is showing He's created us. He's created us to be in relationship with Him. He gives us a responsibility. We have a choice of obedience. And in that, He meets our needs and wants that relationship and fellowship. And He provides for us what we need in that relationship, provides us the community that we need. And that when we are right with God and the way that God created it, we have no shame. This here shows us all of scripture. Like, it is letting us to see the thread of the theme of what all scripture will be about. So keeping those key things in mind, we can't eliminate the warning of the trees. We have to make sure we recognize it. We have to recognize that God says it's not good for man to be alone. We have to recognize that, you know, man and woman come from one another. We have to recognize that man's created in the image of God. So keep that in your mindset, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to share some things. This is really cool. And that, okay, I love that Sandy brought out the name of God. And Yahweh is used for the first time. And this is a fun one for you guys to hear. So Anglo-Saxon have the word for Yahweh is the word bread. And immediately we would tie that to what? With Jesus' names. What name would we tie it to?
Bread of life.
Okay, right? Or in some usages, you guys, it would be like a loaf. And so in the culture, the Anglo-Saxon culture, an English man of high stature would keep his house open continually so that people could come and get bread. So it's a home that somebody could come constantly and give bread. And that's the first name that is Yahweh. Mm. Now I want you to think that He has created. It says to us at the very beginning of the chapter, let me go back on that page, and it says, this is the account of the creation of heavens and earth. And when the Lord God, when Yahweh, the one who made His home open, that we may come and partake.
Mm.
How beautiful is that? And mm-hmm. taking that in. And then, and so thinking through that God He's opened his house. He's created his garden, and in his garden he provided the water and then the vegetation and then the birds and the fish and the animals and man, and he has opened it up for them to come and partake in the garden. I just thought that was so beautiful. And then as it goes in, the first thing it references is how there was no plants, but there was the mist that came up and the rain came down. It's kind of like a globe. And I don't know, I just was getting silly. I thought, oh my goodness, this is the first snow globe. But it's really God's holy abode globe, right? It's God's home, his holy abode. It's his holy abode globe. That's hard to say. But I just started thinking of it as that God's, you know, created this house. He built a house. And, you know, you go into other passages of scripture that says, you know, he's got a big, big house. And the song that's like lots and lots of rooms kind of thing. But it's God's home, and in his home he has the food, the water, and the provision that is needed. And he lays it out for man. And to me that was just a beautiful image of what God has done for us. And so it was kind of fun going in and seeing what the Anglo-Saxon tradition had as far as the name. The other thing that you need to know about the name Yahweh, Yahweh is also said to be the sound that we make. And I think I've said this on the radio recently, of the breath when life leaves a human being. That's the breath sound. It's when a person's breathing. And
I don't remember you telling us that.
I haven't shared this.
I don't think so. I don't remember.
So I heard this when I was at a camp a long, long time ago. And so that literally that as God breathes in to Adam, it is the breath of God. It's the that breathes in and gives him the life. And then when we pass, that is actually the sound we make when we make our last breath. So that when the breath leaves us, life leaves. And I was like, oh, that's just beautiful. Yeah. And that how that he breathes in. And I think I intended to say something about that later, but we'll just do it right there. How God just set that up. Okay. It's crazy in that, okay, think on the fact that God took dust. And so in our body, of the particles of this earth, the creation of earth is what created us. And so that he takes that which is very small and he organizes it and he gives it a purpose, and that's where human man, Adam, came from. And so I'd like for us to read in Genesis, I'll start with Hannah, Genesis 18:27. I'll have Linnell do 1 Samuel 2:8. And Taylor, you can do 1 Kings 16:2. And this is different examples in scripture where somebody references about the fact that we come from dust.
So do you want me to start?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Genesis 18:27 says, "Then Abraham spoke again, 'Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord, even though I am but dust and ashes.'"
Okay. What does that imply to you? By the way, he says that. "But I am just dust and ashes."
I mean, pretty insignificant.
Yeah. Would you call that being humble?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe a spirit of humility?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thinking through the representation of how even recognizing that we came from dust, that it shows our humbleness. Okay. All right. So 1 Samuel 2:8.
"He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes. He has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world."
Okay. Yet, even though God took us from dust, and dust is considered very humble, it's what tramples underneath our feet, God takes that poor heart or person and spirit and lifts them from the dust.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't leave us there. And so that's a beautiful thing for us to remember. And then 1 Kings 16:2.
I lifted you up from the dust and made you leader of my people, Israel. But you walked in the ways of Jeroboam and caused my people, Israel, to sin and to provoke me to anger by their sins.
Okay, so God lifts us up, but we can abuse the gift of the lifting by doing the choice of evil. Mm-hmm. And so here we see the pattern of what happens in mankind. Of, you know, we have Creator God, we humble ourselves before Him, and He lifts us up, then we sin, and then He lifts us up, and you know, and so, right. But isn't that crazy that even the symbolism of dust reveals the process of what God does for us? And it blows my mind sometimes when you look in depth at a different aspect, and that I would not have thought that the different verses on dust would actually show the process of what God does, mm-hmm. and that He lifts us up. It's just beautiful. Okay. when God breathes into the man, they refer to that obviously as divine breath, and there's the nefesh, which is what's used for the spirit that went into the animals. It's a different word. And so in Genesis 1:21 and 1:24, it's high nefesh. So for the animals, it's a different word that He uses. They don't get the same breath that man gets. Mm. And man is the only one that's created in His image. When it says that in Genesis 1:26 through 27, we're the only one that receives the ruach. Okay, and which is the breath of God, the Spirit of God, which in Greek would be pneuma, and in Latin would be spiritus. So the implication here is how valuable we are to God because of the fact that we are the one He breathed into. So what do you think that teaches us about God? What does that reveal to you about Him? And we have about 40 seconds.
How personal He is, mm-hmm. that He would kneel down and breathe life into mm-hmm. dust that He created.
You're the breath in our lungs. There's a song mm-hmm. that
yeah.
kind of...
You're the air I breathe.
That's it. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. So I love the fact that it reveals to us that the intimacy... it's pretty intimate when you get close enough that you can have somebody's breath. Mm. And God says, you know, I've created you in my image, so I'm going to give you my breath. Come back next week and we'll learn some more. God bless.